Isaiah 61, and once again we will read the first three verses. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We just pray you would help us to understand the truths that you are seeking to get across to us through it. And just pray that we may fulfill the will that you have for us as your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we continue to consider the implications of Jesus' statement in John 20:21, where he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." We recognize that God the Father sent his Son to this world for our sakes, and we rejoice in all that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. But yet we have to realize that we don't just take in all that he did for us and do nothing with us. Not only does each of us need to come personally to him in faith to receive the salvation he alone provides, having received that salvation, we also need to realize we have a duty and an obligation to give of what we have received to other people. The Christ mission is our mission, to go out into this world and make an eternal difference in the lives of those around us. And so as we dive in the scriptures, we find that God's word has much to say regarding this subject, and it becomes easy for us to draw application from Christ's life and his example, so that it is then clear for us to know what we are to be seeking to do in this world as followers of Christ. And so we've considered different aspects of this already. We think of, like Christ, that we're not sent to condemn, to judge, or destroy the lives of others. Rather, we're sent to help, to encourage, to rescue. We're sent not to serve ourselves, but to give our lives in the service of those around us. And as well, just like Christ, we're even to be able, be willing to do that to the point of suffering for the sake of others. Jesus as well, we looked at in Acts 3, verse 26, he's sending us to be a blessing to others, to positively impact their lives. And the biggest way that we can do that is by intervening in people's lives when we see them headed on a path of sorrow and destruction. And we seek to do all we can to get them turned around, and instead of running from God towards destruction, instead they run towards him for salvation. And so our study thus far has now brought us to this passage in Isaiah 61, which we began to consider last week. And we know that Jesus Christ himself fulfilled these words written by his life and ministry. And Jesus declared that to be the case in Luke chapter 4, 16-21, where he went into the synagogue, they gave him a book to read, he found this very passage and he read it, and he said to them all, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." But yet, we want to also realize that this passage is to additionally serve as a template for our own lives. And we began to consider that last week. We considered how that, like Jesus, we are sent with the Spirit's anointing and all that that means. That by the anointing of the Spirit, that we are now consecrated and empowered for a holy purpose. And so this morning we want to consider just another part of this holy purpose that God has consecrated and empowered us for. And that's what we're going to be considering, that today, that like Jesus, we are sent to preach. Now for us today, preaching has taken on a connotation that may not necessarily correspond with what God is speaking of here. Because we consider preaching to be something that only happens, and some might say only should happen, within the confines of an auditorium in a church building during a church service. And our thought is as well is that preaching should really only be by a certain person who's called the preacher. And so for us, to preach is to give a talk, usually a lengthy one, about religious matters. And we have a tendency to compare and critique various preaching styles that we think, well, boy, this guy, he is much too dry and boring. This person is way too loud. This person is too brash with what he has to say. And sometimes that's what we do, that it's almost like we can almost develop kind of a fan of some type of preaching more than another type of preaching, and have our favorite preachers, which is, it's good to have different preachers, don't get me wrong there, that we enjoy and that we listen to, because that is profitable to us. But with such a sense, we generally expect that we are the ones who are preached to or preached at. And it's an expectation we may or may not be all that enthused about. Often we equate being preaching with the idea of being lectured to by someone, having someone really get in our faces and tell us about all the things that we're doing wrong. And so with that view in mind, many of us may actually view preaching in a negative light, even though later on we might realize, yes, I needed this preaching, it was of value to me. But in the moment, we may not have generally appreciated what was said. But for this morning, we just want to strip away all these perceptions of preaching that we have, which may not necessarily be fully accurate, and instead try to understand what God is trying to say to us. And so that brings us to the thought, what does the word preaching actually mean? And how is it used here? And really, what is the intention for what was to be meant, that perhaps over time that we've lost some of that understanding? Well, essentially, to preach is to proclaim. It is to publish. It is to announce. To preach is to speak up about something important and to let people know about it. And the word itself derives from the word for crier. And we think of that, the town crier. That's an individual in a town, usually with a bell that starts to ring it and says, "Hear ye, hear ye." And he has some important news that has to be spread. He's making some proclamation of maybe something that is coming, something that people need to be aware of, something that people need to be prepared for. And so, essentially, you could say it this way, to preach is to spread the news. And so in that sense, when we're listening to or we're watching various news broadcasts, we are being preached to. We are being informed of things that have happened that we need or would want to know about. Events that affect our lives, events which may compel us to change things in our lives as a result. And so, to preach is therefore to have something important to say, and to say it loudly and clearly enough so that everyone who needs to hear it can hear it. And so, understanding preaching this way, we soon start to realize that preaching is not something to be confined to a specific place and time, that actually the greater and more life-affecting the news, the broader and more frequent should be its proclamation. Furthermore, we recognize that preaching ought not to be restricted to a select few, that the greater and more life-affecting the news, the more people and the more resources need to be employed in spreading that news so that all that need to hear it can hear it in time. And that's why we would like to keep preaching for the preacher in the church. We want to understand that as God's people, God is seeking to widely broaden our perspective. That we may assume that only pastors and ministers are called to preach, but when we really understand what preaching is, that call, in one way or another, is upon us all. And so for any of us present here, if we have trusted in Christ as Savior, And as a result, we have been delivered from the wrath to come. We have a heavenly home to look forward to. We've been adopted into God's family, and we enjoy the many blessings that accompany salvation. We realize that we enjoy all of that because someone in our lives had the courage and compassion to speak to us about the truth of Jesus Christ. We had a preacher or preachers, there may have been many of them, in our lives that came and shared with us the truth. And so as we think back to who it was that God used to share Jesus with us, and we may recall it may have been more than one person that God brought into our lives. Thinking back, we might have realized, okay, it took several people because the first few people, I wasn't willing to listen to them, but God graciously kept bringing other people into my life to confirm what these others had said, to confirm what I had scoffed at, before it got to a point where I finally said, yes, I hear this, I know this is true, I know I need this, I know I have to do something with this. And so I'm now going to choose to accept what I have heard. I am going to choose to accept this gift that God has given through His Son. I'm going to choose to accept Christ as my Savior and come to know Him and have a relationship with Him and have my eternity settled. That having been preached to by someone and having each of us receive great blessings as a result, we have to come to the conclusion others need to know this too. And I can have a part in proclaiming the truth that they so desperately need to hear and receive. And so we read, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we rejoice in the truth of that verse, the blessedness of that word, whosoever, that God's salvation is open to all people. It isn't sort of for one nationality and not for another. It isn't for one group of people and others are excluded or anything like that. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That anyone, if they come to a point of making that decision to call upon the name of the Lord, they're not going to be cast aside or rejected. They will be saved. And so God offers that, and we rejoice in that. But we see as well the questions that follow that statement. And these, of course, are rhetorical questions. But they're very important. It says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That's the thing, that people have to call on the Lord in order to be saved, but they're not going to do that if they don't come to a place of faith. And they're not going to come to a place of faith if they've never heard of Jesus and know who He is. And they're not going to hear about Him unless there is a preacher. Someone that will preach to them and lift up the name of Christ, will publish abroad what Christ has done to this individual, that gives them that news that they need to hear. And so we want to understand that in order for someone to preach, they have to be sent. That you have to have a word to say, you have to be under some kind of authority. But we realize what God said. He said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach." That we have been sent. That as Jesus was sent by His Father to preach, Jesus sends us to preach. And we want to understand that it is an honor and a privilege, but it is also an obligation and a responsibility for us to be that preacher that people need. And as we look at Jesus' life, Throughout his ministry, Jesus spent a lot of time preaching. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. As he began his ministry, we see that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so he's telling people, he's telling them about what is coming and what to expect and how they're to prepare for it. We see in Matthew chapter 4, in verse number 23, where it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." That in that whole area of Galilee, that he was going around teaching, but then also preaching. And so we see that he and even though he covered many towns, we actually find that he was always wanting to go to other towns. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 38 says this. Mark 1 and verse 38 says, "And he said unto them," speaking of his disciples, he said, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." That he says, this is my purpose for being here. This is why my Father sent me, that I got to preach. And we went to these towns, these people have heard, we got to go to the next towns. They need to hear it too. This has to be spread as far and as wide as possible. And so we want to see that. That he had the truth that he wanted, that he knew could make these people free, and he wanted to share it with as many people as he could. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." That it wasn't one where he said, "Well, that town's not big enough, that town, there's not that many people in it. We can skip that one." No, is every town. He had to cover the whole area with the truth. That it was so important to him. That's what he was set out to do. And really, having set the example, we see Jesus calling his disciples to follow his lead. That he sent them out. And we see what he says of them in Matthew 10 and verse 7. He says, "And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what they're supposed to be doing. Wherever they went, they were to preach and tell them what was coming, tell them how to prepare for it. And in verse 27 of that same chapter, Jesus has this to say. He says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." That he was going to spend a lot of time with his disciples, one-on-one, giving them some very important truths to share that would be a help not only to them but to many other people. And he said, "These things that I teach you, everything that I'm sharing with you, I want you to preach it from the housetops. I want you to spread it as far and as wide as you can. People need to hear this." And so he just had that mindset that everyone needs to know, and I want you to go and tell them. And so we find after his resurrection in Luke chapter 24 verses 46 and 47. He says, "Thus saith unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That he said, this is written, and it behooved for all these things to happen. Behooved means it was absolutely necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. It was necessary for Christ to rise again the third day. But just the same, it is just as necessary that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That what good would a sacrifice be to people if they didn't know about it, didn't know that they needed to do something with it, that it was the way of salvation, the only way of salvation, and that they needed to hear it so that they could make that choice. That he made it very clear, this is absolutely necessary, that this is preached not just here, this is where it starts, but it has to cover all nations. And then we see, just prior to his ascension, what he commanded in Mark 16 verse 15, where he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so he made it very, very clear for his disciples that as he set the example, they were to follow it. His Father had sent him to preach, and so he was sending them into the world to preach as well. He sends them and he sends us today. And so we see, as we start to look in the book of Acts, that his disciples did as Jesus had taught and as he had shown. That in times past, these men did not have much courage. That when the mob came to arrest Jesus, they all forsook him and fled. And Peter himself actually, he said, "Well, I would die for you, Lord." And instead, as Jesus said, he denied the Lord Jesus three times. And these men, of course, these were not men that were skilled in oratory. The Pharisees looked at them, they identified them as being unlearned and ignorant men. That most of these guys were fishermen and tax collectors and other things. That they were not these ones that were these great orators that were skilled in being able to speak to crowds. But yet we find these men finding their voices and publishing the truth of Jesus Christ. That they're finding everywhere that they can, in the temple, and from house to house, they're telling people, they're publishing abroad what happened about Jesus. He died, and he was raised again, and this is who he was. He's the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for. You need to trust him as your Savior. That they were doing this. And even though we find that they were threatened by the same men who had arrested and condemned Jesus to death, that even after times where they were physically assaulted by these men, that they went out and they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They kept doing it, even though it meant that they would face harm as a result. And later on we see when great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, as directed by Saul of Tarsus, that we find that many of the believers had to flee Jerusalem to escape this persecution. It says that the apostles remained in Jerusalem, but all these others of believers were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And under such conditions, you would think perhaps for their own safety, they say, okay, we just need to kind of go somewhere and quiet down, and so this persecution will pass over us. They could have easily said, well, God was really just talking to the apostles to be the ones that were preaching. We'll let them kind of take the hit and we'll just kind of let our lives kind of settle down. But that's not what happened. And they understood what Jesus laid out, that preaching wasn't just for ministers or for clergy or any thought like that. It was for all of them. Because we see in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And we find that it was actually something the devil, his plan was to use that persecution to discourage God's people, to snuff out the spreading of God's word. And God used it for something good as God's people remained obedient to their Father. And what happened was, instead of being just one great big mega church in Jerusalem, that we find out in Acts chapter 10 that now there's churches all through Judea and Samaria and Galilee. That at one point seemed this was going to be a bad thing actually ended up being a good thing. And it came as God's people obeyed God's command, that they knew this is what we're supposed to do. Wherever we're supposed to go, we're to preach the gospel. We're to be telling the truth, preaching the word, and God greatly blessed as a result. And so we want to understand that all of us, as God's people, we have been given great truths that are too great to keep to ourselves. We have received great blessings as a result of God sending a preacher to us to share with us the truth. And so we need to turn around and we need to spread those truths ourselves as far as wide as we can. We need to publish it abroad. We need to find our voices and raise our voices and tell people what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. That we have something that's worth sharing. It is something that is life-changing, something that is life-saving. People need to know this. Even if it's difficult, even if some may not like what we have to say, we need, as God's people, to find our voices and find as many ways as possible to get the truth out. And so, in the time we have remaining, I want to answer a question, ask a question and answer it. The question is, why is preaching so important for us as God's people? And so as we draw to a close this morning, I want to provide you with three reasons which can serve really as three motivations for us to fulfill what God has called us to be preachers for Him. That first of all, preaching is needed because there are still so many people in this world that have not heard. People can't come to Christ as their Savior if they don't know anything about Him. And there are people groups all over this world who don't know there is a Savior. There's so many different people groups that don't have any Bible in their own language. that Jesus is just a foreign idea to them. But there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So they need to hear His name. And so it has to be published abroad. But as well, we want to understand that in our country today, in our society, even in our community, being in a postmodern, post-Christian society, there's plenty of people all around us who may never really have had anyone sit down and share with them who Jesus is. And we can't assume that those around us have heard, nor can we assume that that someone else is eventually going to get to them and tell them the truth that they need to hear. That for their sake, we want to say, just in case they haven't heard, we want to make sure they know. And it's the thing, for those who have heard and received Christ as their Savior, they're not going to be upset about you sharing the truth. They're going to love hearing it over and over again. For those who have heard and not received it, understand, maybe sharing with them again may finally help them to come to accept the truth. That we think in our own past that it took two or three or four or five people to speak to us about it over a course of a certain time before we finally said, yes, I need to do something with this. And so maybe we're one of those ones others have sowed, and we're watering, and God's going to give the increase. And so we want to do that. But it's the thought, most of all, for those who have not heard, we need to give them the truth. They need at least to have the opportunity to know so they can do something with it. If they don't know, how can they ever be saved? And so we have to tell them. But secondly, we want to understand that preaching is needed because the devil is active in this world to do all that he can to drown out the truth of Jesus Christ. That he wants to destroy as many lives as he can, and he does not want a people to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we realize that he makes this world so noisy with so many different voices speaking up that contradict one another, so that people really aren't sure who or what to believe. And as well, he often tells people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. He tries to lull them into a false sense of security, getting them to believe and to put their trust in gods that cannot save them. And so we want to understand that people need to hear the truth even though it makes them uncomfortable. Because sadly, people will believe lies that lead them to destruction. And that is why we see the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, where he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as it appear in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That we want to recognize, we live today in the time that Paul spoke of then, that many are trapped in falsehood. And we need, they need to have someone bold enough to come into their life to snap them out of the lies that they've been caught in, confront them with the truth. Help them to see, no, what you've been told, that's a lie. That's not going to save you. That's not going to help you. You need to come to Jesus. And so that brings us to our final thought, that preaching is needed because it is the means God has chosen to bring salvation to us all. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's the thing, is that many hear of Jesus and the whole story of Him, and they laugh and they think, what does this have to do with me? But we understand, when we trust in it, it changed our lives. It brought us from death unto life, from sorrow unto joy, from despair unto hope, that it is the power of God. It's what people need to hear. And that's the thing, is that we tend to reject preaching because of our pride, and we want to dismiss it as foolishness. But it is exactly what every one of us needs. It says in verse 21 of that same chapter, "After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." That's the thing, is that mankind, because of his thinking that he's wise, because of his pride, he looks at what God has to offer him, and he thinks it's not worth looking after. That it's something that often can be offended by, even. But it's the thing, is we learn instead to humble ourselves. We learn to accept the truth that God gives to us, that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. That what we actually discover is all that we have ever sought for in life is found in Christ alone. And the thing is, we want to think of it this way. We often need to hear something that rubs us the wrong way because we're turned in the wrong direction in life. And we have to turn ourselves around so that then we will feel the way that it ought to us. And it's the thing that sometimes what happens again, that we rub the wrong way, we want the preaching to stop, but instead if we turn and respond to it, it brings us into a place of blessing and forgiveness and peace and joy. And so it's when we do receive the truth and it changes our lives, that's when we learn the true value of preaching. And that forevermore should compel us to become preachers ourselves, to raise our voices and proclaim the truth so that many, many more can come to faith in Christ. And we can wonder, how can I ever preach? I don't feel that I am able to. I don't know what to say. But we want to understand. That's why he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for I have anointed to preach good tidings unto the meek. That by giving us his Spirit, that is his enabling. That it's not us trying to figure out what to say, it's yielding to His Spirit within us so that He can work through us. That we are sent by Him and we need to fulfill what He wants us to do by the power of the Spirit. He will give us the words to say. But we want to understand that that's God's ministry that He has given each and every one of us. We need to publish abroad the name of Jesus Christ. We need to lift His voice up, lift His name up, and lift our voices up in doing so. Everyone needs to hear. They can't come to Christ without a preacher. And maybe someone else might come, but we don't know that for sure. And God can use each and every one of us to do that if we're willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just thank You for For each of us, Lord, sending a preacher to us, Lord, that would share us with us the truth, willing to speak to us, even though we may not have really been willing to listen to begin with, but knowing that we needed to hear what they had to say. And Lord, just pray you'd help us to have the same mindset, to just realize people need to hear, and we don't know if there's anyone else that will come to them, and so we need to follow you and obey and just realize that's what you sent us for. Just help us, Lord, to be preachers for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn this morning.